Well, it's good to see each one of you here tonight. It is great to hear baby crying, what have you. It's always good. I like that. It's always good. Sometimes as a pastor, as a preacher, you'll put together a message, and you're like, this is not really, who's this for? Or you're kind of struggling with it or whatever. But sometimes the Holy Spirit reminds you. I remember preaching a message. It was my very first message. There were six people. And I'm like, who's going to pay attention to this message? And somebody has salvation on my first preaching of six people. And I didn't even know the lady. So you just never know what God is doing with a message. And you guys that have preached know that you just never know. So, but then God gives you insight on why you put it together and why he put that together tonight. So a couple things. It's going to be a little different style for me, I think, a little bit. But I do want to remind you that James tells us that a righteous man, you know, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But basically, a righteous person who prays, their prayers are strong. Okay, I want you to keep that in mind. So tonight I want to share with you a story. There's so much preaching messages and so much, if you're a teacher like Phil Jones, you can say all these things you can find out about teaching. But we're going to surf these waves. That's the only way we can do it, to get it in. And the time that we have tonight. So I want to just kind of bring us up to a place. We're going to be in Genesis tonight. Chapter 19, I think. Chapter 19. And I want to bring us up a little bit here. So Abraham and Lot are related. Lot is a nephew to Abraham. I'm going to say Abraham. I'm not going to change his name just so that we'd understand. Okay, so Abraham. I'm going to use Abraham tonight. So Abraham and them had left the family. God called him, Abraham to leave. Lot went with him. And they began to be blessed. And they came to this part here in chapter 13 where their herdsmen began to fuss and argue a little bit. They've been blessed so much that the blessings are causing problems. Can you imagine that? Your blessings are so much that your blessings are causing your own family problems. And their blessings are causing you problems. But the smart one in the bunch, it seems to me, is Abraham. And Abraham begins to say, hey, we're family. We can't have our people. So how about this? We got to separate a little bit. Why don't you take a look and see which way you want to go? You want to go out here in kind of the open lands of area, or which way you want to go? If you go one side, I'll go to the next. If you pick that side, I'll go to the other side. Well, the Bible says that Lot looked around, and he saw the beauty of Sodom. He saw that. And Scripture says it was like the Lord's paradise, like the garden. The Lord's garden, it was like Egypt. It was beautiful, all of that. And Lot says, I want that. I want that. And so we see what happens a little bit down, and we see chapter 14. Lot's living in the land, and some kings come, and they kind of take over, and they capture some people out of Sodom, and they gather them up, and they run away with them. Well, somebody came and told Abraham, hey, they got your boy Lot. He got his family. And he's like, what? You know, and what he does, he gathers up his men, and he goes and gets what was stolen. Basically, I love my family. Nobody's going to mess with my family. I'm going to go there, and I'm going to protect my family. And the Scripture says he went and took care of business. And what he does, he gets Lot back and his family and everything that they had that was taken, they get it back. And Lot goes exactly to the same place he was. He goes right back into Sodom. We have the part so far? Now what happens is the Lord begins, now he comes in, he wants to visit and talk to Abraham about some stuff. About being, you know, going to have a baby and some other things. But there's a conversation kind of like when they're getting ready to go out of town and out of the area where Abraham is, looking at the city. And the Lord says, I'm going to tell Abraham what I'm going to do. The city's going to be destroyed. The sin is just so bad. And Abraham is moved because he's like, I don't know somebody that lives down there. I got somebody that lives down there. So there's a conversation between God and Abraham. I'm going to read just a verse out of 18. I'm going to read two verses out of 18. And Abraham keeps saying, if there's 40, would you destroy it? If there's 30, would you destroy it? And the Lord says, no, no. Then verse 32, he says, then he said, Lord, he said, let my Lord not be angry. I will speak one more time. Suppose 10 are found there. And he answered, I will not destroy it on the count of 10. Not going to destroy it on the count of 10. When they had finished, they separated and went on their way. Chapter 19, the very first verse says this. The two angels entered Sodom in the evening as Lot was sitting in the Sodom's gateway. I want to tell you what happened on that hillside between God and Abraham. There's a conversation going on about what is going to happen, and Abraham is interceding for Lot and his family. Lot doesn't know it. I'm going to ask you right now, you got a family member you're praying for? They don't know how much time you've been praying. They don't know what you've been talking about. But I want to remind you, God has. God hears it. And he's standing there. So these angels, they come into town. Now they're getting in there. And where is Sodom found? Or where is Lot found? Right there in the gateway. Right out there in the gates. Where all these other elders would be. All of them would be there. Let me tell you, we're going to see a couple things in here. That this city is vile. This city would be a place you'd want to move away from. You don't move away from a side of town. You move completely away from this city. Okay? So we're going to skip some verses, but I want to share with you some things that can come out of this, because there's two things happening right now. Two major things has happened. Abraham always seems to come to Lot's protection, always seems to come for Lot and all those things, gave him first choice of all the lands, went to go rescue him, and now he's doing the most important thing. He is interceding to God for him. God, if it would just be 10, would you destroy it? What do you think right now Abraham's doing? He is going to bed. Who do you think is on his mind? Lot. Is there 10? I wonder if there's 10. I wonder if there's even 10. But if you know that visit, there were three that came in that visit, and two of them were going right down to that city. This is completely out of Abraham's control, but he did what he did, the greatest and best thing that he could do, talk to the Lord about it. And the angels, now we're going to get off of that cliff, and we're going to go shoot right down into Sodom, and it's going to get nasty. Two angels entered into Sodom at the evening as Lot was sitting at Sodom's gateway. Now I'm going to read several verses tonight. We're not going to get into everything because we don't have the time. Verse 4. Now, before they went to bed, they're all in Lot's house now. Angels are there. The men of the city of Sodom, both young and old, the whole population, surrounded the house. Sounds like a mob, doesn't it? But this isn't a mob that wants to steal anything. Not anything that you can think of, like riches and money. But they want to do something different. Verse 5 says, they called out to Lot because they knew Lot. They said, where are the men who came to you tonight? Send them out to us so we can have sex with them. What did the scripture say? Both young and old, the whole population, the whole crowd is here outside. Now, I want to remind you that Lot knows right from wrong. Yet he's still sitting out by the gate. There's some things that we're not going to be able to get into, but we see this piece right here. They're all surrounded the house. They know Lot. We want those guys that came. We want those guys because we want to have sexual relationships with them. It amazes me that there could be that large of a crowd and there's just two people that they want, two what they call people. These are angels, but they wanted them. You'll never find some of these scriptures in anywhere else in the Bible where you see some of these things just in this chapter. Isn't it funny when you get around people who are living a sinful life that they just keep diving deeper into sin? And when you dive into sin and sin is in your life, you find out that sin begins to change. You begin to change as a human being. You begin to change. You begin to do things you said you would never do. But basically, that's exactly what sin does. It's not a miracle. It's not a big thing. It's what sin does. It destroys lives. It takes control of lives. It draws people away from God. You've got a crowd of people that is so bad that it comes up to the Lord and says, I'm going to destroy it because it's so bad. They have made their crowds and they're wanting to have, they want to have sex with this, with these guys. That's what they want to do. But verse 9 says, get out of the way. They said, adding, so what they went in the house. And there's some other things that goes on. And Lot's saying, no, no. But they said, get out of the way, they said, adding, this one came here as an alien, but he is acting like a judge. Now we'll all do more harm to you than to them. And they put pressure on Lot and came to break down the door. A lot going on there. Now here's the thing, remember, I want always keep in your mind, what's going on with Abraham? Abraham's heart is breaking at home. The action is down in Sodom. The sins are being committed in Sodom. But the heart pain is being felt on the hill, on the mountain, on the ridge. I want to remind you that people that are trying to live a righteous life for God feel a lot of pain on what their family and friends and others are doing that are living in a sinful lifestyle. It's hurtful and it's hard. But it's funny how we see that this crowd, they said, this one acts like, he's acting like a judge, calling out one of these angels, act like a judge. Let me tell you, good knows when bad is around. Good knows when evil is around, and evil knows when good is around. And because of that, they said, he's acting like a judge. Didn't say anything. Scripture doesn't say he said anything. You've been around somebody, you see how they are, and you just know that in general, that's just a good person. Been around another, like someone comes around, you can feel that word, and it's just like, man, I just don't feel very comfortable around that individual. Well, these individuals are saying, he's acting like a judge. We're going to do more harm to you than we will them. But the scripture says they put pressure on him. There is pressure. When you're living in sin, you as a believer know you what you shouldn't be doing, but know what you should be doing. There's pressure that really you shouldn't be in that pressure if you step out of that sinful times of temptation, that sinful lifestyle. So that's really unneeded pressure. So many people talk about, I got so much pressure in my life. Well, what are you doing? Sometimes life gives you pressure. But sometimes we give ourselves pressure by how we're living our life. And the choices that we make. But verse 10 says, but the angels reached out and brought Lot into the house with them and shut the door. See, here's the thing. Everybody's hearing. We don't have time to go through the scriptures. Everybody's hearing what Lot's saying. Lot ain't getting nothing done. Because when you're around sin, you don't get nothing done. No, brother, don't do that. Oh, you can't. This guy, Lot, is all over the place. He is a guy, you can just read these scriptures. He don't know how to make a decision. He don't know how to make a godly choice. He's just bouncing around because he's living in an area that's just totally sinful. He's out in the gates. They know him by name. He knows them by name. He's trying to live 1 foot over here, 1 foot over there, and you can't do it. So the angels reach in, and they take charge. They pull him in, and the scripture says, and they pulled Lot into the house, and they shut the door. They struck the men who were at the entrance of the house, both young and old, with blindness. So they were unable to find the entrance. Wow. That is a miracle. But doesn't change anybody. Nobody is actually changed for the good. You would think that these men, these people who were being blinded, you think that they would turn around and say, oh my gosh, I have sin in my, you know, what am I doing? This is, they did something. Not a one of them repent. Not a one of them wants to change anything. Not a one of them wants to do that. Because I'll tell you why. Because they may have been struck physically blind, but they were all along, they were spiritually blind. The whole time. We all can see here. I know some of us, like myself, need reading glasses. But let me tell you, you can have eyes and see, but you can also have eyes and not see. You can be spiritually blind. And you can be physically blind, but you can still see spiritually. But these men were struck with a physical blindness because they were getting violent. They were getting ugly, and angels, they did what they did in their power, and they did it, and they struck them blind. The verse 15 says, through the night, angels are talking to Lot. You got to get your family together. A couple daughters were supposed to be engaged, get married. These son-in-laws, they tell them to get up. We're going to get out of here. We got to get out of here. There is an urgency. You read the script. There's such an urgency with the angels. There's an urgency. And they thought he was joking. I hope you believe in the resurrection. I hope you believe in the resurrection. It's not a joke. The resurrection is going to happen. Not because I said so, but because God said so in His Word all over, lots of places. The resurrection is a promise for the believer that we be resurrected to meet the Lord in the air. That's the good stuff. These guys didn't believe anything. They're getting ready to destroy it, but they got to get them out. So it says at 15, verse 15, at daybreak, the angels urged Lot on, get up. Come on, get up. You got to go. Take your wife and your two daughters, because the guys aren't going. Take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away in the punishment of the city. Well, I have to make a choice. Lot is all over the place mentally. He is all over the place. And so this goes on, but the scripture says in verse 16, he hesitated because of the Lord's compassion for him. The men grabbed his hand and his wife's hand and the hands of the two daughters. They brought him out and they left him outside the city. Here's another piece with scripture. Let me ask you this. Why do you hesitate? Why do you hesitate when you know the Lord wants you to do something? Lot hesitated because he didn't want to leave. He just didn't want to leave. He didn't want to leave. But I want to remind you that God's compassion is bigger. What does it say? It says, because of the Lord's compassion. Because of the Lord's compassion. There's going to be a little more to that as we get down a little bit further. Never have I seen the scripture. Maybe you guys can see, research a little more than I can. I've never seen a scripture where an angel walked up and grabbed somebody's hand. That had to be the most awesome feeling. And we got to go. And leading the way. Because you're hesitant. I don't want to go. I can't move. So stuck in that place. That's what happens when you're trying to help someone through addiction. You want to pull, but they're stuck. They want to go, but they don't want to go. Okay, I can't go. And or they're trying to leave a lifestyle that's sinful, and you want to pull them. You pull them. And never in scripture have I ever seen angels grab. What does it say? It says the men, these angels, they grabbed Lot's hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters. What that tells me is, they were all pretty much holding. Listen, angels have two hands. One's got Lot and his wife, and another one's got the two daughters. They were in the safest place in the world in that moment. That is awesome. That's God's compassion. Remember, what's going on with Abraham? Abraham's up at night. He's a tossing. How many times you tossed and turned for a family member you love? Tossing and turning because they're not living right. They're not doing what they... And you're praying to the Lord. Let me tell you, when you're praying, God is doing more than you can see. Pat, I have my moments. Hard moments when I see family members I love so much not doing what... Not living the right, not doing things. Oh, Lord. I'm tossing and turning, trying to be, like this scripture, through the night, I've already had my conversation in my prayer time with the Lord, the day of, the night, the day before, but that don't mean whatever's on my mind and on my heart is going to be on my mind, whatever's my day, whatever's important is going to be on my mind during the night. So even though the action's happening here, is also, there's this subtle piece that's so powerful over there. Okay? The angels have got their hands. Man, that's precious. And that's God's compassion because Lot ain't got it all together. He should have. He doesn't have it all together. What does it say? As soon as the angels got them outside of them, said, run for your lives. Okay? So here it is. The list of instructions. God sometimes does give us a list. Sometimes it just says, be still. Sometimes it says, move. Sometimes it says, do something. Here, it's simple. It sounds simple. But it says this. The first one, the angels got them outside of them and said, run for your lives. Don't look back and don't stop anywhere on the plain. Run to the mountains or you will be swept away. So the first one is, run for your lives. An angel tells you to run for your lives, you better run. You got to run. Number two, don't look back. That's going to be haunting someone here in a second. Don't look back. Because looking back slows you down and it tempts you to stop and go back. And people do it all the time. Number three, don't stop anywhere on the plain, which means, oh, I ran far enough. No, you got to run further. This is what happens in addiction. As you run, you think, oh, I got 3 months in. I'm good. No, you're not. I got a year in. I'm good. I'm great. You're doing great, but so many people go back even after a year. You got to go a little further. You got to keep going. You got to keep going. What did he say? The fourth one was this. You got to run to the mountains. Where was it that Moses always went to talk to the Lord so many times? Where? In the mountain. Seems like very easy instructions. Run. Don't look back. Run as far as you can. Run till you get to the mountain and get to the top. Run, run, run. Never in Scripture do we see so much, I mean, just so much like action. It's all in chapter 18. But verse 18, come on, you're like, come on. I want to go, after I read this, I want to go to Lot and I want to shake him. You ever wanted to do that with a family member or a kid? You ever wanted to shake them? I'm sure my father wanted to shake me many times. And it wasn't because I was doing good at that time. It's because I wasn't... My wife wants to shake me sometimes. And I just want to give her a big hug like Kelly would, right? So, no, sometimes I want to shake her too, right? We have those moments. Because this is what we see. But Lot said to them, when Lot opens his mouth, he gets in trouble. He says this, no, my lords, please, no. Please, your servant has indeed found favor with you, and you have shown me great kindness by saving my life. Where did they save his life? Back at home, when all that crowd was trying to get in and bust the door down. He says, but I can't run to the mountains. How many times have you heard someone that you love say, I can't do it. I can't make the change. He says, I can't run to the mountains. The disaster will overtake me. He believes there's going to be a disaster. He believes that. But he says it's going to overtake me. Kind of curving it there. And he says, and I will die. Look, this town is close enough for me to flee to. It is a small place. Please let me run to it. It's only a small place, isn't it? So that I can survive. He wants to get back into the city. Just a different city. What is it we say? Change your faces and your places? But sometimes places may have a different name, but it's got the same faces in it. He wants him to get, God wants to get him out of there. He don't do very well. We don't see much, we don't hear of any too much bad with Lot until he gets into the city. So, he says, let me run to this city. I call this bargaining with God. How many of you have said, Lord, if you do this, I'll do that. If you do that, I'll do this. If you move these things, I'll do this. You know what the crazy part is? Sometimes God does some of those things. But it doesn't end up the way you think it's going to. He may do what you ask him to, but he's going to do. This is what we're going to see here. He says, and he said to him, this is what amazing. The angel says, all right. What? Here's a guy who ain't getting it. He's just having a hard time. And the angel says, all right, I'll grant your request about this matter too, and will not demolish the town you mentioned. That is a town that I believe was going to be destroyed, and now it wasn't. That's what it said. It says, and about this matter too, and will not demolish the town that you mentioned. Hurry up, though. Run to it. And here's the key. For I cannot do anything until you get there. What? What do you mean? He says, I can't do anything till you get there. These angels are under strict orders on what to do. They have very strict orders, and they are not going to change what God has purposed them to do. Hurry up, run to it, for I cannot do anything until you get there. Therefore, the name of the city is Zoar. Huh. So, the sun had risen over the land when Lot reached Zoar. He finally got there, right? Then out of the sky, the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah, burning sulfur from the Lord. He demolished these cities and the entire plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, but not Zoar, okay? Because why? Because Lot is there. And whatever grew on the ground, I mean, it was totally like done, annihilated. But Lot's wife looked back and became a pillar of salt. Now, wait a minute. We've seen God's compassion already. Angels holding their hands. We've seen a request out of not making a choice. We were not wanting to do what they were told to do. He made a request, and it was even given the request. But his wife turns and looks. Because what was the rule? What was said? What was the instruction? Don't look back. Non-negotiable. Don't look back. And she looked back. This is why so many people cannot get out of their sinful lifestyle. They look back. Looking back causes you hesitate. You look back. And it's kind of like the old joke is like this. Because running is hard, right? And it's like kind of like the old joke. You see a lake. You want to swim across the lake. You get halfway across the lake, you kind of sit there and you go, I'm really tired. I think I'm going to turn around and go back. Because when you look at the shore where you came from, you know what's there, but you're not sure what's over there. It looks too hard to keep going on, but always going back always seems to be easier. I'll just go back to my sinful lifestyle. I'll go back. Maybe she didn't believe that all this was going to happen, but it didn't matter. She looked back and she turn into a pillar of salt. That didn't change it for everybody else. Lot and two daughters got to keep going. And this is early. So what we see here is that I'm just telling you, that had to have been a hurtful moment. Lot saw God's grace, God's compassion, God's mercy, but he also saw that God's serious. God is serious about it. But we see some scripture here. In verse 27, early in the morning, Abraham went up to the place where he had stood before the Lord. What? Early in the morning. When you got something heavy on your heart, you don't sleep well. If you got someone that you've been praying for, you don't sleep so well because you're thinking about tossing. And it, you sometimes, I mean, how many times have you prayed and fallen asleep? I've done it all the time. I used to feel guilty about that one day until an older pastor told me this. Why do you feel guilty about falling asleep with the Lord? Listen, it was really good. He just said, isn't it be awesome the last person you talked to for the day was the Lord? Maybe the Lord just said, you need to go sleep. You talk too much or something. Maybe you're asking too much. Maybe you're stressing, and God just says, go to sleep. Go to sleep. And because you know what? As believers, we wake up, and I know a lot of us want to reach for the phone, but just take a moment and just say, good morning, Lord. Abraham, he's getting up for a reason because there's a purpose. I spent time with God on this hilltop. And there's a city down there, and we were talking. And it says, early in the morning, Abraham went to the place where he had stood before the Lord. And he looked down towards Sodom and Gomorrah and all the land of the plain. And he saw that smoke was going up from the land like the smoke of a furnace. And I'm telling you, he's thinking his whole heart is sinking. Because his last verse was, Lord, just one more. If there be 10. And the Lord said, yes, if there are 10, I won't destroy it. He comes out, he looks, and it is totally destroyed. This is what we do in our walk with the Lord. I've been there too. When I see it with my eyes of certain things, I go, the Lord must have did this. The Lord did this. Remember, I want to remind you that God does things that we don't even see. He's thinking Lot's dead in the whole family. No, Lot's not dead. God was doing work when Abraham was sleeping. Let's go on. He looked down toward Sodom. He saw in Gomorrah that was all blown up in smoke. Verse 29. So it was when God destroyed the cities of the plain, he remembered Abraham. And listen, it isn't, he knew Lot, but he remembered Abraham. You're stepping in for someone. You're stepping in the gap for someone. You're praying for someone when they're not praying and they're living a sinful life or they're not where they need to be with the Lord. You're stepping in. And it says, he remembered Abraham and he brought Lot out of the middle of the upheaval when he demolished the cities where Lot had lived. What is this common words? What does it mean? God answered Abraham's prayer. And then some. Abraham was talking about numbers. But in his heart he was saying, Lot's down there, God. Don't destroy him. Don't kill him. I love him. He's family. The scripture says that God remembered Abraham. Don't you ever think that your prayers are not powerful. Your time that you spend with God in those night hours when you're tossing and turning because of your children or your grandchildren or a family member or even your spouse, your wife, your husband. Listen, you keep being like Abraham up on that hill. You keep talking to the Lord. You keep doing it. The action part, let God do the action. What's going on all in it? We keep praying and having conversations with the Lord. I do want to end with this because I got to close it out. Verse 30, Lot departed from Zoar and lived in the mountains. Isn't that what God said in the first place? That's what I was trying. So isn't that what God said in the first place? The angel said, you got to run to the mountains. Oh, let me run over here to Zoar. Gets over to Zoar. Something must have happened. Either he's thinking, it's going to happen here or I know the end of what happens here. So Scripture says Lot departed Zoar and lived in the mountains along his two daughters. It goes into a crazy story after that, but there's some reasons why those things happen there. We're not going to get into that tonight. It's really about your prayers. I'm telling you, when you pray for your family, listen to me, they're not in vain. They're not in vain. But you've got to remember, James says, basically, the righteous prayer, a person that's righteous, a person that's living Christ-like, the person who's walking with the Lord, it says their prayers are powerful. Their prayers are powerful. Lot's prayers were weak. No power. No power. Didn't even say that he was praying, but he knew certain things. But it was Abraham who was talking to God. You might have a Lot in your family. You might be Lot. You might be Lot's wife. You're halfway to getting where it needs to be done, but you keep looking back. You might come to a point in your place, and I've been here as well. There's been times I've not felt God for a while, and I'm like, God, these scriptures are amazing. Just can you come and just breathe in my area? Can you just come and brush your shoulder against mine or something? I'm sorry for my weakness and my faith, but I just need a touch that I know you're here. I think the Lord likes to do those things. So sometimes I'm doing that. Sometimes I'm praying, Lord, help my family member, help this person. And I'm going to be like Abraham, and I ain't going to quit. And I'm going to keep looking over, and I'm going to keep doing that. Because most of us know what it's like to be like Lot. And thank God we had someone like Abraham praying for us. Father, I just pray that our hearts are right, and your spirit is moving upon us. We might obey what you have called us to do tonight. I pray for this time that your will be done. In Christ's name, amen. Let's